This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Is there a player or a position you don't want Washington to select in the first round next Thursday night if they stick there at number 29? Overall, I'm going to get to my answer on that and what I talked about at the open. Three players I'd be surprised if they took in the first round. I do overall kind of have this thought that there's still something looming between now and the draft. I think something will happen with Trey Hendrickson. I'm not predicting that it'll be Washington, but I think something's going to happen before the draft. If they're going to trade him, Cincinnati, they have to do it before Thursday. It's got to happen over the weekend or on Monday or Tuesday. You know, we don't see the big trades, you know, other than picks typically on draft day itself. Some of those big moves involving big name players happen before the draft. So just keep that in mind. I think there's a chance Cincinnati retains him by paying him, but I think something breaks on Trey Hendrickson between now and Thursday. We shall see. And if it's Washington giving up a lower price demand because the draft is approaching and teams waited Cincinnati out and Cincinnati would prefer to trade Trey Hendrickson to, you know, an NFC team, we'll see. But remember, Washington doesn't, beyond the first round, have a ton of dry powder. They don't have a third rounder. They have a second rounder. That would clearly be a minimum of what Cincinnati would be looking at. But it's number 61 overall. It's towards the end of the second round. So I don't know that Washington ultimately will have enough in this upcoming draft to win that battle with other teams if Cincinnati drops its price. So I talked about something at the beginning of the show that I want to go back to because it sort of dovetails into the answer on who I don't want them to pick or a position group that I don't want them to pick. But there are three players, and I talked about them at the beginning of the show, that I would be surprised if Washington selected. And without spending as much time as I did in the open to the show, and you can go back and listen to it, I would be surprised if they took Tennessee defensive end James Pierce Jr. I'd be surprised because there are significant red flags on the player's work ethic, and there are a couple of others as well. But the biggest concern about Pierce Jr. isn't the overall talent. It is whether or not he loves football. You know, there's a quote from an NFL scout in Dane Brugler's breakdown of the draft. Quote, "I need to be convinced that he loves this," closed quote. That is an absolute, you know, you hear that and you couple it with some of the off-field issues he's had. None of them have been major: traffic incidents, speeding, suspended license, not providing insurance, dumb stuff that a lot of dumb young people and even some older people do every once in a while. But there were discussions about James Pierce Jr. and his work ethic before you know, the intense buildup to the draft. You know, he had missed out on some workout days for Tennessee last year in the offseason. You have to be convinced, if you love the player, that he loves the game, that he's going to have that level of work ethic. And we know what they were looking for last year. They were looking for workers, high character people, guys in the locker room that would fit their culture. I'd be surprised if Washington selected James Pierce Jr. with a first-round pick. I'd be surprised if Washington took Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina, in the first round. I like the player. I do. And I know that I've even mentioned that I thought he was worthy of a first-round pick. But I spent a lot of time in the last couple of nights trying to get a little bit ready for next week. So at least it sounded like I knew what I was talking about to a certain degree. Keep in mind, we don't know anything really about the stuff that we can't see. We're not involved in the interviews. We're not involved in making calls to coaches and to friends and family members about the player. But to me, Omarion Hampton is a really good back. I like him, but he's not the elite back that I think you have to feel the player is to select that player in the first round at the running back position. Ashton Jeanty is. He's the one in this draft. Travion Henderson has the kind of game-breaking talent, not to mention the overall incredible culture fit, which he does and will have. And I'm not saying Omarion Hampton has anything negative about him. In watching a lot of Hampton over the last 24 hours, he doesn't have the open field wiggle. He doesn't have the football breakaway speed. I know he ran 4.4 something at the combine. He's a big dude. You know, he's 220, 225 pounds. And he's 6 feet, you know. I don't think he's got the vision. I don't think he's got bad vision. I think he runs a bit too upright. He's not Ashton Jeanty. I'd be surprised if they took Omarion Hampton in the first round. To me, he's not a first-round back. Doesn't mean that somebody won't believe that he is. He's got a lot of strengths. I mean, once he gets going downhill, he is a, you know, he's a horse. And he's durable. But there's, you know, if I'm going with a back in the first round, when there's daylight, he needs to be able to score. Okay, I don't need an 18-yard run out of some daylight with a broken tackle along the way. For a first-round back, I want to know that it's over, that safeties better have the exact angle or he's running right by him. I don't see that with Hampton. He's not Saquon Barkley. He's not Jahmyr Gibbs. He's not an elite back. Travion Henderson has some elite capabilities. I'd be surprised if they selected a guy like Hampton at number 29 in the first round. And then wide receiver-wise, even though I've loved this player as a college football fan, I would be surprised if they took Luther Burden III. You know, netting it out, there's a lot of Jahan Dotson in Luther Burden. There is this incredible talent and separation ability and playmaking ability. And there's also something that Burden has in him that Dotson never shook out of, which is why they dealt him. He's not, you know, a finish out every play guy. He is occasionally a take a play off if the play isn't designed to come to him. And that's what Dan Quinn told you in advance of them trading Jahan Dotson. I've used the basketball analogy. He wants guys that will dive on the floor for loose balls. That was never Jahan Dotson. And I bet they'll view Luther Burden III the same way. So three players that I'd be surprised they take: James Pierce, Hampton the running back, and Luther Burden the wide receiver. Now, in terms of who I don't want to see them in the first round.
Steelers or anyone.
You know, they've done a lot of work in the offseason, and they've added a lot of defensive players. I'd prefer the best player available. On some level, though, I hope it's not a wide receiver. I think there's depth to the wide receiver class, A. And B, I think we saw last year that with Terry and with Noah Brown when he was healthy, and now they've added Deebo Samuel, and we're hoping on Luke McCaffrey. Michael Gallup, I guess, will have a chance as a stretch the field guy. Like, my preference would be that the best player on the board, obviously it won't be a quarterback or it won't be, I don't think it'll be a pure left tackle. But I think my preference would be, I've seen what they can do with average outside of Terry at wide receiver, with scheme and with quarterback. I'd love to add a real backfield threat. And I think in Deebo, you've added a weapon, period, whether it's in the backfield, whether it's in the slot, whether it's, you know, out wide, whether it's in motion, fly sweeps, you know, bubble screens, etc. So I think that I'll trust them if the best player on the board is a wide receiver. I will. But I would be disappointed if the best player available is a wide receiver and they ended up taking that position. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Is there a player or a position that you don't want to see them select in the first round overall? Phone lines are open. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. Max will answer the question when we come back. I've given you three players that I would be surprised if they took at number 29 overall. And then position-wise, I think I'd be a little bit disappointed if the best player available on the board was a wide receiver. I think they've already proven they can scheme it up and they can scheme people open with the talent they have, and they've added to it in the form of Deebo Samuel. I hope it's something defensively. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Who don't you want Washington to pick in the first round next Thursday night? It can be a position group. It can be a specific player. 301-230-0980. Ben Standing, by the way, will join us at 12:35. Max, do you have an answer to the question?
Don't want would be, it would shock me if they went safety, because I keep seeing Nicky Minwori get mocked to us. I keep seeing it more and more as we get closer to the draft. There's a guy that I have my eyes on next year that I would do backflips for this team to draft, and that's Caleb Downs from Ohio State. He's a monster. So safety would shock me. That's pretty much the big one. But certain wide receivers, like I think all the wide receivers that are kind of at the top, like Matthew Golden would shock me. I don't think that they're going to go that way. I think if they were going to draft a receiver, I'm going to keep banging the drum for Emeka Egbuka, but he's like the only receiver I would see them taking a chance on at the top of, or the bottom of the first round. But I mean, Edge, it feels locked up. I would like for them to take Ezeraku or something like that, but Edge is kind of where I see them going. But I have a feeling that we're going to hear a lot of calls on people not wanting Shamar Stewart. That's my guess at where the public lies.
Yeah, the lack of production. Yeah. I'm actually curious as to whether or not he'll even get there. By the way, I've watched now a lot of Donovan Azaruko from Boston College, and I'll talk about him next week. There is a lot to like. There's also a bit of a concern. All right, 301-230-0980. For me, I think I'm at the point where I hope best player available, which is what they should select at 29 overall, as long as it's not a quarterback. Or a pure left tackle, or a center, and it won't be. But I think that wide receiver, we've already seen their ability to scheme people open and be productive in the pass game with the quarterback that they have. And I would actually love to see a top flight back in their backfield. But I'm pretty much not going to hate anything because there is a level of trust in them that I have. All right, let's start with our guy Steve in Houston. We haven't talked to Steve in a while. What's up, Goon?
What's up, Thug Sizzle? How you feel, man?
What's up?
Hey, let me be a little out of order here, real quick. Yesterday, I heard you about the RFK thing. Two seconds, Kevin. My brother and I, dude. Let me tell you what game we went to when the Skins played. What was that, Detroit? So my brother and I, we leave RFK, right?
Detroit in the NFC out. Championship game in 91?
Was that the game when Daryl Green got an interception at the end?
No, that's a regular season game. That's into the mid-90s. Yeah, picked one off in overtime and scored.
Exactly. But us two big goofs, what we did, my boy Jaron and I, Archbishop Carroll, you know, salute line.
That's my father's alma mater.
I know that. That's why I had to plug that in real quick. So we're leaving the parking lot. You know, we're over there off of Bennett, bro. We hear the stadium erupt. And we're like, dude, are you serious? We get home. We talk to the, well, we wait, see everybody come out screaming and yelling, Redskins won. I said, dude, and at that point, I'm staying to the end. Like they say, it's not open until the fat lady sings. So that was my quick RFK moment from yesterday. Right.
1995, I thought it was mid to late 90s, 1995, Daryl Green in overtime picks off Scott Mitchell, the lefty, and returns it for a touchdown to win it 36-30. All right, answer the question that we're asking.
Yes, I was talking to Max in the same thing, Shamar Stewart, you know, all of the measurables, workout warrior, the whole nine, but just the production, I think only 4.5. Sacks last year at Texas A&M. It just doesn't make sense. I would be very afraid, nervous, concerned if they were to pick him, because that just seems like they're leaning towards, you know, potential and upside. But I have one, you know, and I know we signed Kinlaw. You know who I think would be an interesting decision, Kevin? If Derek Harmon from Oregon fell at 29, I wonder what Peters would do then, because he's a really, if you watch his tape, Derek Harmon is really good from Oregon. And if they have him rated high, you know, how would that work? And I've always been curious if they got a D tackle rated and like a wide receiver.
Yeah, well, I've actually considered that as a possibility. Like if the best player on the board is a true, you know, inside technique, inside defensive tackle player, would they take that player? I think you do have to consider that this could be Daron Payne's final season in Washington. So if it is a D tackle and that is clearly the best player on the board, I don't think they'll hesitate. So if a Derek Harmon fell, that's a possibility. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, how you doing, man?
What's
Hail
up?
To the W.
Yep.
Ain't nothing much, man. Ain't nothing much, man. I'm pretty on board with what you're saying. I think receiver position would be my least favorite pick. And along the same lines of what you're saying, like, Jaden, that's how you can tell one of the greatnesses of Jaden Daniels is
he elevates
the receivers yep. around him. Exactly. Come on. Noah Brown, OZ. Just take it back to that Atlanta game with OZ. I mean, OZ was looking like Alvin Harper out there.
I don't know about Alvin Harper. He's much smaller than Alvin Harper. Wasn't Alvin Harper like 6'4"?
What I'm saying is he was a dominant number two in that game. Just for that game, we remember we needed a number two, and he elevated him to a dominant number two. But personally, I think we're getting confused on edge rusher. I don't think they're looking for an edge rusher. I think the word we need to use is they're looking for a defensive end. I think they're looking for
I agree. I agree. That's a really
Rice type player.
I agree. You have to get somebody who can first and foremost stop this team from giving up 8 and 9 yard runs, you know, on that C gap or outside of it. But you want that player to be a pass rusher too, because you did lose 10.5 sacks last year.
Right, and that's why I said a Simeon Rice type player. But in saying that, if they just wanted an edge rusher, they would have threw that little extra couple millions and brought Fowler back. But they didn't, because they didn't just want a one way player.
Well, they couldn't play him when they got behind against Philly.
Right. So I don't know Stevenson's measurable as far as his height and weight, though, but if he's a true defensive end, I wouldn't be surprised if they did take him at that spot if he was still there. But the player
what player did you just mention?
What's his name? Stevenson? Who's the guy that everybody's saying they don't want, the defensive end? The one Max just brought up earlier.
Shamar Stewart?
He didn't want.
Shamar Stewart. From A&M.
Yeah, Shamar Stewart.
Yeah, he's got no production.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, the butcher, that's me. My fault.
Yep.
But the guy I personally want for this draft is I want Trevion Henderson, Ohio State. Not only is he a game breaker, he's good in pass pro. He's Clinton Porter-esque in pass pro. You know, and I think that's the one position, one player that will boost or elevate the offense without, you know, having to lean on. Well, Jaden Daniels is always going to elevate, but that's the guy I want. Trevion Henderson, man. I'll take it off.
We'll do the who do you want next week. Thanks for the call, Paulie. But right now, what don't you want position wise, or who don't you want player wise? 301-230-0980. Sabah is calling in. Been a while since we've heard from Sabah. Sabah, go ahead.
Hey there, Kevin. Can I comment about the name after I talk about who I don't want?
No, we're not doing the name right now.
Okay, well, I think it's a huge topic, but okay.
I know, but it's always a huge topic with you. It's a huge topic for me, too, but we're going to stay focused right now. Is there a player or a position that you don't want them to select in the first round?
Yeah, don't want them to select Travis Hunter at all. I don't want somebody to tell me what
you don't want who?
Before he even shows up. Travis Hunter. I don't want nothing to do with
him. You're not getting Travis Hunter. We're talking about players that would be available at 29. He's the best player in the draft. He's one of the best players we've seen in years.
I'm answering it. Then I don't want any running back in the first round not named Omarion Hampson, because he is LaDainian Thompson. He ran behind a sucky offensive lineman. You know, they were nothing. And when he is in the open field, he is gone. He is going to be better than Saquon Barkley is to Hurts. He'll be better than that to Jaden, because they both have breakaway speed. We will be unstoppable on offense if we get Omarion Hampton. And he also is durable. That Javonte or Jonte guy, he's too physical. He's going to get hurt.
Jonte's very physical.
LaDainian Thompson,
that is true.
And he's elite. He is elite.
I don't see Hampton the same way.
He's got the perfect mixture of power.
Yeah, I don't see Hampton the same way, and I like him, and I think he's going to be a good NFL back, but I don't see any similarities to Saquon Barkley's breakaway speed. Not even a little bit.
He's LaDainian Tomlinson. That's who he is, a future Hall of Famer. Okay. You book it right now,
well,
buddy.
I don't want a running back if
it ain't him.
If you promise me he's LT, we'll take him. Thanks, Sabah. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kevin. Go ahead, Kev.
Hey, Kevin, thank you for taking my call. Well, although I don't want to lighten the pants, pass rush only defensive end, because we need an edge setter, that's not my number one concern and thing I don't want to see drafted. But let me just set it up. Look what the Eagles did last offseason. They had weaknesses at corner. They go get Mitchell and DeJohn in the draft. They had weakness at running back. They go get Barkley. They had issues in the linebacker core. They get Bond. And why did you do that? Because they're in the Super Bowl window. Even though they had that collapse at the end of a season ago, they were still in the Super Bowl window. They went for things they needed to do and have to win a Super Bowl. And I feel like we've taken bets on Samuel and Tunsil, and I think the smart bets, because we need those players to win a Super Bowl. What we don't need to win a Super Bowl is another wide receiver. Okay, we don't. If they draft wide receiver, I will have a fit. If you go back to 1980 and our first round wideout picks, that's the last good one we did. That was Art Monk. Since then, let me read off this disturbing list: Desmond Howard, Michael Westbrook, Rocket Rod, 50-50 Gardner. You know, Dotson and Dotson. Do I need to go on? It is a heavy bust pick, that position, just like quarterback. No, do not go for wide receiver. Hell, I'm thrilled we've got McCorn and Samuel, and I think Luke's going to take a step up. We got Noah Brown back, and maybe Gallup can take the cap off the D. That's the last thing we need to fix. So I'm very strongly against taking a wide out in the first round.
Remember, Philly went back-to-back years taking wide receiver, and they really screwed it up in 2020 with Jalen Reagor from TCU when Justin Jefferson was on the board. Yeah. I'm with you. I think that what we learned last year about Cliff and obviously about the quarterback is they can scheme it up. They did it with a lot of, you know, average players other than Terry, and they've added Debo, and we still don't know what Luke McCaffrey can do. We do know he can get open. So I'm with you on that. I would be disappointed if the best player available on their board was a wide receiver. But if it were, and it was not even close, then I would absolutely be on board with it. So, you know, if Igbuka is the best player on their board by miles at 29, they should take him, period. But I'm with you. I hope it's not that position.
I just think it's too risky. I just feel like what the Eagles did is they addressed all their major weaknesses. We still have a major
Well, they traded back to get the second corner with our team.
However they did it.
I agree.
They filled their holes.
Yeah, but it probably was the best player on the board when they selected Quinyon Mitchell, and I guarantee you Cooper DeJean was the best player on everybody's board when he was taken at whatever number that was in the second round when they traded with Washington to get up to that spot.
Kevin, what did we get by giving up the pick that got them DeJean? I mean, did we get Sennett? I mean, what did we get? Because I'd like
We got the extra second round pick. We got Sennett. Sanristil was our own pick. Sennett was Newton was our own pick. Sanristil and Sennett. We got Sanristil and Sennett, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So if we got Sanristil, then okay. But my point is, if it were Sennett and another player that wasn't Sanristil, I'd want
to. No, it was Sanristil and Sennett. We traded traded back with Philly and picked up, it was like 50 and 53 or something like that, whatever it was. I'm pulling it up right now. It was 50 and 53. And we got Johnny Newton. Well, we had 3 second round picks last year.
Yeah.
But we gave up 40 and we gave up, I think, a fourth round or two or something to Philadelphia. But whatever. They got an excellent player. We got an excellent player in Sanristil.
And we don't know what we've got with Sennett. Maybe he's going to blow up.
It's one year.
Maybe Luke's going to
most players don't show what they are as rookies. Yeah. Thanks, Kev. Let me move on real quickly. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. Chris, quickly, go ahead.
Hey there. I said to your call screener that, number one, nobody on offense. We're fine. Okay, we can find rookie free agents, whatever else. I trust our offensive coordinator to scheme things up properly. We need a lot of help on defense everywhere. Number two, your prior caller was right. I remember the NFC Championship like it was yesterday. Darryl Green picked off Detroit on their last possession, ran it back about 30 yards.
Yeah, but he was talking about the overtime game winner. That was against Scott Mitchell in Detroit in 95. He did have a pick six in the championship game. Yes, he did. But no, that was a 41-10 win.
No,
he was talking about the game winner, I think. I thought he was. Maybe I'm wrong.
No. The one in the NFC Championship game was where he picked it off on Detroit's last possession.
It was like a deflected ball. He picked it off and ran it back.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
The interception against Scott Mitchell in overtime was a regular season game, and they won on his pick six in OT. I thought that's what Steve was referring to, but you might be right.
I immediately interpreted it as he was talking about how to kind of close out the game, because I remember that as well. Okay.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dre in Landover. Dre, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Dre?
All right, to start off, I'm going to go ahead and try to answer the question, but I do want to touch on the fact I keep hearing a lot of, it's been like arrogancy. We picking 29, and so people saying they don't want Stewart or they don't want Pierce or this and that and the other. Basically, it's not our decision. It depends on who's on the board. You know what I'm saying? Now,
well,
you got those choices between the Stewart and the Pierce.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, these are hypothetical questions based on, you know, the consensus of the kinds of players that will be available at 29. But we're all guessing at this point. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I hear a lot of people saying, well, we don't, they took James Pierce off the board due to character concerns. And I'm saying that based off of last year, the culture was set. That was one of the best coaches I've seen in this organization in over two decades. So I feel like with Coach Quinn, they can take on a guy like James Pierce or Mike Green or whoever. But all right, let me answer the question. I'm going to, at first I said receiver position totally, but I'm going to go with Emeka Ibuka because I feel like I think this team needs somebody that can be a deep threat. And I feel like you can get a slot, basically what he is, a slot receiver. You can get that in the third or fourth or whatever, late undrafted guy. I feel like this team really needs somebody that can, go deep like a Matthew Golden. If he's there, I would take him at 29, actually.
All right. I mean, by the way, back to your first point. It's an interesting point. I would just tell you that I think this is a team moving forward, even in a championship window opportunity, that they're not going to go with flip-the-coin players when it comes to character. I don't think they're going to do that right now. I mean, if you told me 5-6 years down the road, they've won a Super Bowl, they've lost one, and there's another window before they're going to have to pay Jaden another massive deal, and there's a corner out there that's got red flags all over them, and they desperately need a corner, that's different. I don't see it in year two of Peters and Quinn. But thanks for the call. Those that I didn't get to, I apologize. We'll have plenty of time to do calls next week. Ben Standing next.
All right. Last night, the Washington Nationals lost 1-0. Trevor Williams got the start, pitched 5 innings, got 5 strikeouts, and gave up 1 long bomb to O'Neill Cruz. They will take on the Rockies at 8:40 on 106.7 The Fan tonight. The Caps took the L to the Pittsburgh Penguins by a score of 5-2 last night. Clay Stevenson got his first NHL start, and Alex Ovechkin notched .897, finishing third in the NHL with 44 goals behind Leon Draisaitl and William Nylander. Former Washington National Patrick Corbin picked up a 3-1 victory last night versus the LA Angels. Nearly missed the start due to a suspected spider bite. Bruce Bochy said he could hardly walk when he came into the clubhouse. After 38 years, Lee Corso has announced his retirement from broadcasting. He will give his final headgear pick on August 30th. The NBA play-in continues tonight. The Heat will take on the Hawks at 7, and the Mavs will take on the Grizzlies at 9:30. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream, turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports, and that's what's trending.
Ben Standing is with us, but before we get to Ben, spring football is in full bloom. The DC Defenders take on the San Antonio Brahmas at Audi Field this Sunday, April 20th. Get your tickets now at ufldefenders.com UFL.com/tickets. That's UFLDefenders.com/tickets. Ben is here at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. Standing Room Only is his podcast. Listen to it and read him at The Athletic. He has gone through on The Athletic all of his Washington draft scenarios. I'll let you take us through just the ideas on your five mock Washington drafts. Actually, you had six of them. I'm sorry, you had six of them. Take everybody through sort of the thought process on each one, and then maybe we'll focus on one of them.
Yeah, you know, I like doing this kind of every year, and it's, you know, last year was clearly not about the first pick. It was about, you know, what else might happen. But the general point of this exercise is people say they want whatever it is, an edge rusher, a running back, you know, with the first pick. Okay, well, if that happens, then here's where you look beyond that. You know, some positions are deeper than others. You know, if you wait for, you know, like this year, if you wait for like an offensive tackle on day two, you're going to be kind of out of luck. So it really just kind of goes through that exercise. And, you know, in two cases, I went, they have five picks. I just made the five picks and just changed up some of the priorities. A couple of them I traded out of the first round, and a couple of them I traded out another part of the draft. And like I said, just to try to look at what makes sense. You know, you can't always address every issue in a draft, but where can you be the most effective? And again, where are some of the where is the value in the draft? Where are some of the concerns if you wait? Things like that. So it's always a fun exercise for me. And you know, trades are fun. Who doesn't like trades?
You know, your very first mock in this exercise that you go through was focused on, you know, culture, team captains, and you make five selections for them, including an undrafted free agent, but they're all team captains at the college level. I just had a caller say, you know, they might be in position now with the culture they set to not worry about it as much on a truly talented player. I think there's going to be a lot of similarities in the way they approach this draft to year one. What do you think?
Yeah, so this is where it gets so interesting about how do we assess this team. They, you know, of course, had an incredibly successful season, but it is still early in this new incarnation with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. You know, they're still establishing, you know, kind of everything, the roster, the culture, and obviously the things went well last year. And I do think they are testing a little bit by, you know, with the Marshon Lattimore trade, Laremy Tunsil, Debo Samuel, not that they're, you know, bad guys or anything, but like, you know, they're all, you know, the guys who've been around the league and kind of, you know, they're not necessarily like none of those guys are the captain type. So, I mean, it wasn't just like they were bringing in Boy Scouts, you know, the same way they sort of did a year ago. And, you know, I think therefore it does make sense that they're going to stay with that general thought. Now, I did, when I went through this exercise, I, you know, sort of tiebreakers would go to the captains, but I wasn't as dogmatic about it. The first one I did absolutely, because I think that's, you know, a reasonable thing. But after that, I kind of, you know, didn't worry about it completely with every single pick. The way I did that first one. So, yeah, I would think they're still going to look for those types of individuals and players, but based on those trades that they've made for the vets recently, you know, I don't know that it is as, you know, a must-have as it was a year ago.
So, next week you will have your mock draft out the day or the night before the draft on Wednesday. Ben is a multi-time mock draft champion. When will you have your, you know, your Washington predicted draft out?
I think that's out for Monday, I want to say.
So can I make a prediction on that right now?
Sure.
You're going to have Donovan Isoruko, the player from Boston College, as their first pick at 29.
You think so?
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, he you know, at the if we're just saying at 29, like, you know, look, he's, what do they need? Where we all believe they need an edge rusher probably first and foremost, whether it's because they need a better, more consistent pass rush. They got to be able to stop the run, and they just need some more juice at that position that obviously would feel like the top need. Then this guy in particular, he was a team captain at Boston College. He had 16 and a half sacks last year. He's not much, probably not going to be much of an edge, holding the edge there. He's only like 245 pounds or so. But, yeah, there's a lot to like. I think the hope, if that's the kind of guy you want, I think the hope has got to be just that the edge rushers get pushed down the draft and they don't start going off, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the top, 15 picks or so, which is definitely possible. This is a weird edge class. There's a lot of upside, but a lot of questions as well. So he very well could be that guy, sir.
I mean, I think that he fits in a lot of different ways, and I just have a feeling that you mentioned him a couple of months ago as a possibility. Tune in on Monday's show, and we'll see if we get an actual if you'll disclose it to us, if it's out at that point. You know, the one thing about him is he's right now coming in as a pure pass rusher. That's what he'll do for them next year. Now, they lost 10 and a half sacks with Dante Fowler Jr. Leaving, but I don't know that he's an every down player. But to your point, maybe that's why they brought in, a Dietrich Wise and a Javon Kinlaw, if they're going to move him a little bit to the outside at times on, with the big size, because he's not a strong edge setter at this point. He's a bendy, explosive, 6'3", 245-pound pass rusher.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, there's a lot to like in terms of what he would provide, and if the goal is to, focus on getting more pressure on the pass rusher, I mean, ultimately, look, that is, we know that they've got to improve the run defense, but, getting able to get after the quarterback is, incredibly important. We all get that, and they don't, what they currently have now, they've got some solid pieces, Dorrance Armstrong and Dietrich Wise, but, they don't have that guy. And I don't even know that Dante Fowler was necessarily that guy, but it did work out last year where he – he got all the sacks. A guy like Ezeraku, the good thing is, because of where they, the line they currently have, he's not going to be asked to come in and play three downs. He's going to be able to come in, do the pass rush, learn the game, learn their system, gain strength, and then, go from there. But yeah, year one, I'm sure he's going to be viewed as, more or less a pass rush specialist. And, look, they need that for this year, but longer term, obviously, they've got to hope he develops into a guy that could play, more than just sort of against the pass.
Yeah, I think if they go edge rusher at 29 or edge at 29, and I think Paulie said we really should be talking about the position as defensive end because they are a 4-3 base, but, that's kind of the description now of defensive ends or edge players. I think that we're going to learn a lot about what they think they really need. I mean, it'll be best player available, but if it ends up being more of an Ezeraku versus a Landon Jackson, as an example, or a JTT from Ohio State, guys that are true edge-setting run stoppers, we'll learn about what they really believe to be their deficiency and what they're trying to go for. Now, that assumes also that the player is the best player on the board. Is there a player or a position, and I just asked callers this, that you don't want them to select or you'd be surprised if they selected?
Well, and just to sort of, I'll get to that, but in terms of is Ezeraku going to be the pick or an edge guy? This is again where you have to look at the whole draft or at least the first few rounds and see where the strengths and weaknesses. Using our guy, Dane Brugler, our draft analyst, at The Athletic, using his guide, he's got in his top 100, he's got 17 edge rushers. In going through the fourth round, he's got 24 edge rushers. Cornerbacks, I believe it's 11 in the top 100, and then 16 or so through the fourth round. And that's not
right,
a bad number to pick from, but it's less than the other. So waiting on edge, and this may be why the edge guys fall a bit in the first round, is because teams feel that they can get it later, and therefore
sure,
Washington might think, hey, we'd want to take a, a Trey Amos, a Siobhan Revelle, Benjamin Morrison, whatever it might be, in the first round, then get edge later. So I think that's something to consider. In terms of what I can't see them doing, I mean, honestly, we'll assume everybody understands they're not going to take quarterback.
Right.
Tight end, I mean, look, Zach Ertz is going to be 35 and he's only on a one-year deal, but I don't think that's a position you take in round one. And the way the board falls, it feels like they're sort of in the middle between where the top two guys are probably going to be going, like top 15, and then there's a couple other guys that go round two. So that, to me, is a position probably don't need. Other than that, I don't know that there's a position. I think everything is in play. I think right tackle should be in play. I think safety should be in play. Based on the board, like no reaches, but there's a couple of safeties who probably can go first round. I think the offensive tackles may go fairly quickly, because if you look on Dane's list between number 25 and 75, I think there's like two offensive tackles in that whole range. So if a Josh Simmons or a Josh Connerly is there, I don't think that's crazy to take that and, look to further upgrade the line and maybe ultimately look at Brandon Coleman as a guard. So I don't really think there's anything that's that nuts. I mean, I guess you could talk, running back is the positional value there. Maybe not, but, if Travion Henderson's sitting there, the Ohio State running back, I'm going to definitely consider it. He can be a three-down back. He's got tremendous, wiggle running. He's a great pass blocker. So, nothing to me.
And a high quality kid, apparently, by all accounts.
Yeah, another
I got to roll. I'm up against a hard break. Thanks. We'll talk on Monday. Skins mock is out. Real quickly, this from Clayton. Sabah is right. Hampton's Derrick Henry. No, he's not. Derrick Henry, and I wanted to just go look it up to make sure. Derrick Henry was 6'3", 252. All right, he got drafted, by the way, in the second round. I thought he should have gone higher than that. Hampton's 6 foot, 220. They basically ran the same 40, but Derrick Henry was a much more freakish human being at his size and being able to run the way he ran. All right, heavy draft on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. Chris is next.